Going to read the scriptures together, and we're turning to the New Testament and to the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, and the chapter 1. As we come to read the Word of God together, we'll move down to the 16th verse of Romans chapter 1. And we're reading here about the wrath of God against sin. And I mentioned this morning that I come tonight to speak on that solemn subject, to speak about the wrath of God. And so we're in Romans chapter 1, and we'll read from the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they know God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, unto birds, unto four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. We'll end there at the end of chapter 1, and may the Lord be pleased to add his own blessing to this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. Can I bid a warm welcome to all who have gathered tonight, and we do thank you for coming to support the effort here. Well, we're turning together this evening to Romans chapter 1. We've been reading here in this chapter, and having already announced my subject for this evening to be the wrath of God, You may have spotted those words in verse 18 of our Bible reading. And there in the 18th verse of Romans chapter 1 we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And we come this evening to consider the wrath of God. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer, just to ask the Lord for his help in the preaching of his word this evening. Our gracious God and our loving heavenly Father, we do thank thee tonight that we can seek thy face, knowing that thou dost hear and answer prayer. And we ask, O God, as we come to meditate upon thy word and upon this truth this evening, that thou wouldst be pleased to minister to each one of our hearts. Give to us, O God, that needed wisdom. Thou hast said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And Father, I come before thee this evening confessing my need, and that thou wouldst impart that needed wisdom and understanding this night. I pray, O God, for each one that is gathered, that thou wouldst give that listening ear, give that understanding heart. And we pray that as the word of God would go forth, that thou wouldst be pleased to bless it powerfully by the power of thy Spirit this evening. And may it be used, O God, to enlighten hearts and even to the salvation of precious souls. So close us in now to thee and glorify thy name in and through us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the subject before us this evening is a very solemn one. And when we come to the gospel and we think about the preaching of the gospel, perhaps today there is much emphasis that is made upon the love of God. And whenever we hear sermons today, we would hear much about God's pardon and about God's forgiveness. And for those who will trust in the Lord, there is peace and happiness and joy. And that certainly comes through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. But to be true to God's word and to do justice to the word of God, we must refer at times to some of those solemn truths. And here we can see in the text of Scripture, it's bringing before us very clearly that solemn subject of the wrath of God. And when we come this evening to think about this particular subject, we can see that it is being introduced by the Apostle Paul in the very first chapter of his letter to the Romans. And as he's coming there to speak about the gospel of Christ, he has said in verse 16 that he's not ashamed of that gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you would think that the Apostle Paul would then begin to speak to us about the love of God and about the forgiveness of the Lord, and he would present the gospel in such a way. But no, Paul immediately, having referred to the gospel of Christ, he introduces here the subject of the wrath of God. And perhaps there would be those today with liberal preachers and liberal theology that they would overemphasize the love of God, and there would be no reference made at all to the wrath of God. And yet with the Apostle Paul, that's just where he started. He started here with the sinner being under condemnation, the sinner being under the judgment and the wrath of God. Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, he'll not mention love until he gets to chapter 5. And so he has talked to us here about the wrath of God. And in fact, the Bible speaks more to us about the wrath of God than the love of God. The Bible speaks more to us about hell than it does about heaven. And so the Lord would make no secret of his wrath. He has revealed that to us. And a verse 18 tells us, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." Revelation of God's wrath And really, that's what would be good for hearts this evening. And yet we must approach the subject with tenderness and with love. That we're coming to speak about a very solemn subject. And we're thinking there about the severity of the wrath of God. It's not something that we should take lightly. It's not something that we should just pass over glibly. No, we need to consider it. And let the truth of it sink down into our hearts. And tonight, as we just come for a moment or two together to the wrath of God, I want you to think firstly about the existence of God's wrath. The existence of God's wrath. And when we think about it this evening, that it is something that is very real, and those who are unconverted and would perhaps be connected to each one of us this evening, we need to be conscious that they are under that wrath. The wrath of God that is real. The wrath of God that exists this evening. We cannot come to God's word and edit out the wrath of God. There may be some who would want to do that and would want to pass over it, but the wrath of God is there, and it is revealed right through the Scriptures. You could take the Word of God, and you could just look at some of those references this evening. It may surprise you at the frequency of the mention of God's wrath. I have just looked at some of those references, and let me bring them to you. There are a number of references in the Psalms. In the Psalm 2 and the verse 5, "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath." And there the psalmist is referring to the wrath of God. In that same Psalm 2 and the verse 12, it says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little." And the psalmist there, at the very beginning of the psaltery, is referring to the wrath of God. In Psalm 21, in the verse 9, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them." And again, the psalmist feels that the wrath of God must be referred to, and certainly the Scriptures would teach us that the wrath of God really exists. Psalm 90. Verse 7, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." By thy wrath are we troubled. Verse 11 of that same psalm, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." There are just some of the references in the book of the Psalms. There are many, many more that refer to the wrath of God. But you could turn to the prophets and Isaiah the prophet, the chapter 9 and the verse 19. And it says, "Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened. The people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. The wrath of the Lord of hosts." And so the prophet Isaiah was compelled to mention that wrath. The prophet Jeremiah, the chapter 10 and the verse 10, "But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." Jeremiah speaks about a time when the earth will tremble at the wrath of God. And so the wrath of God is something that is very real. The prophet Ezekiel, the chapter 7, the verse 19, "They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord." And there you can see there's reference to a day of God's wrath, and the prophets would speak about that, and the prophets are pointing to that. The day of his wrath. The Psalms, the prophets. You might say, well, sure, that's the Old Testament, and we know that the Old Testament is filled with the wrath of God, but when you come into the New Testament, the message changes, and it's all about love. So some would have us believe. But when you come to the Gospels, Matthew chapter 3 and the verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And there's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he's speaking about the wrath to come. John chapter 3. And yes, that's a chapter that speaks to us about the love of God. Has that golden text of John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world. But you could come down to the very last verse of that chapter in John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. The wrath of God abideth on him. And so the New Testament, and even there, the Gospel writers, they have to record about the existence of God's wrath. The letters of the Apostle Paul, and there's one of them before us tonight in our Bible reading. And there in that first chapter of Romans and the verse 18, he's speaking there about the wrath of God revealed from heaven. And in Romans chapter 2 and the verse 5, you could look down there and see, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so Paul will write to the Romans and he will warn them about the wrath of God. He wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 5 and the verse 6, and he said, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He wrote to the Colossians about the wrath of God. Chapter 3 and the verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You see, you can go all through the Bible and you can see that the writers of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, they were inspired to write to us about the wrath of God and how that wrath really exists. The unbeliever would need to face up to the fact of God's wrath. And the unbeliever would need to realize that they're under that wrath. The sentence of it is upon them. And you could notice specifically from the wording of our text that it is speaking about the wrath of God. This is God's wrath. This is divine wrath. And that's what the unconverted soul will face. It is specifically called the wrath of God. It's God's wrath. It's not man's wrath. Man's wrath is different. There's times whenever we can get angry. There's times when we could perhaps break out into a rage. We get to the end of our tether and the temper just breaks and there's an uncontrolled passion and wrath could come. That's the wrath of man. It's very different to the wrath of God. God's wrath is holy. God's wrath is just and righteous and perfect. This is taught to us concerning the very nature of God himself, and therefore that wrath will reflect the Lord. It will be a just wrath because man has sinned against God and is therefore deserving of God's wrath, and God will be just whenever he executes that wrath upon man because the sinner is guilty before God. And so this evening, as we consider the wrath of God, I want you to think about its existence. But in the second place this evening, I want us to consider the examples of God's wrath. You see, the text of Scripture before us in Romans 1 and 18, it speaks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So the wrath of God is revealed. There's something of the wrath of God that has already been used by way of example to warn the sinner. You could go right back to the Garden of Eden, and the Child's Catechism would tell us. The Child's Catechism would ask the question, what did God do to Adam and Eve after they had sinned? And it tells us they were doomed. The answer is they were doomed to sorrow, toil, and death, and driven from the garden. And it shows us and it teaches us from our earliest days how God moves against sin, and God comes to execute that sentence, and God comes to punish sin with a just penalty. Doomed to sorrow, toil, and death, and driven from the garden. God's wrath was revealed from heaven in the days of Noah. God looked down from heaven and he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man. And God determined and declared that he was going to destroy man from off the face of the earth, and God moved. And you know how that catastrophic flood came in and how God executed that punishment against sin, and his wrath was revealed from heaven. It's an example of it. An example of God's wrath. You remember as well in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, the immorality that there was in those days. We have been reading it in Romans chapter 1. And you can see there how in verse 26 it speaks of such immorality. For this cause God gave them up unto their vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And you can remember how in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that sin of sodomy and homosexuality was being practiced, gross immorality. And God judged it. We know how God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven upon them. And there's another example of God's wrath being revealed from heaven. God executed his judgment upon them. You could think of other examples in the Word of God where God's wrath was revealed. There was the destruction of Pharaoh and the hosts of Egypt as they pursued after the children of Israel, and they tried to come in as well to cross the Red Sea, and the Lord closed it upon them. And they perished. They drowned in the sea. God's wrath was poured out from heaven. That wrath which fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary was another example of the wrath of God being revealed from heaven. And there is the Savior, and he's there as our substitute.
And he's there taking our place as he suffers in his own body upon the tree. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. And therefore the penalty and the punishment of our sin must fall upon him. God the Father, being just, being righteous, he pours out that wrath upon his only Son. There's the greatest example of the wrath of God being revealed from heaven. We were singing those words, the wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid, and by the shedding of his blood the debt for us was paid. The wrath of God that was revealed from heaven and poured out upon God's only begotten Son as he took our place there and suffered and bled and died, it was to purchase our salvation. The Savior endured the wrath of God that was our due. And so we see these examples of God's wrath being revealed from heaven. But as you go to the end of your Bible, and you go to the book of the Revelation and to the chapter 6, we have here that future day of God's wrath being referred to. That day that the prophets have prophesied of, and they have spoken to us of it. And in Revelation, the chapter 6, and you come down that chapter to the last couple of verses, and it is speaking about this day when the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And there will be great panic and great consternation in that day. And the one will say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of God, by that great day, there'll be those crying out to be hidden from the wrath of God. And verse 17 of Revelation 6, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And there's the wrath of the Lamb. Severity of God's wrath being poured out in judgment of all who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And that judgment, that wrath that will fall upon them, ultimately it ends in hell itself. And make no mistake about it, that's what our text of Scripture is teaching us, that that wrath of God will be revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. It's going to come. God's wrath will fall on all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. I was thinking about those two terms, ungodliness and unrighteousness. They're similar, but can you distinguish between them? Well, perhaps it's a reference to the two tables of the law. And the first table of the law would be our responsibility to God. And any violation of the commandments on the first table, any violation of our responsibility to God, that's ungodliness. And the next table of the law would speak about our responsibility to our fellow man, and any violation of that table is unrighteousness. And so we're going to be judged. All ungodliness and all unrighteousness is going to be judged. All of those actions that are against God and all of those actions that are against our fellow man, they're all going to have the wrath of God upon them. As the verse of Scripture goes on, describes those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth. When I looked into that word there, to hold, they're not holding the truth as to hold on to it by way of treasuring the truth. The word hold there has to do with suppressing the truth. And they're trying to keep the truth down. That's the way they're holding on to it. It's to stifle the truth because they don't want the truth of the gospel. Therefore, as they try to suppress that truth, they're holding the truth in unrighteousness, but they're heading for judgment. They're heading for the wrath of God. The wrath of God is going to fall upon them, and all of that ungodliness and all of that unrighteousness is going to have the wrath of God coming upon it. It's what the Bible is teaching us. That's what Revelation is speaking to us about in the future. And so you can see, as we think about the wrath of God, there's the existence of that wrath. It's very real. It is taught to us in the Word of God. There are the examples of that wrath, and we've considered some of those examples. But in the third place this evening, I want you to think about the expiation of God's wrath. Now, that might be a term you're not so familiar with. It's a term that is not readily used today in our vocabulary, but it's a good scriptural term. The expiation of God's wrath. If you wanted a simpler term, we could say it's the escaping of God's wrath. Well, how does that come about? Well, that expiation actually means that through the work of Christ upon the cross, God's wrath is turned away. That's what it means. God's wrath is turned away. So we shouldn't be afraid of these terms. We should be getting hold of them. We should be looking into them and seeing what they mean. It's a good scriptural term. God's wrath being turned away through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the simplest way that we could put it this evening, that the Savior died upon the cross to turn away the wrath of God from sinful man. Paul described it when he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 10 about the Savior who delivered us from the wrath to come. Delivered us from the wrath to come. And therefore, the work of the Savior upon the cross and the pouring out of his precious blood unto death, it satisfied the demands of divine justice. It satisfied a holy, righteous, and just God that the penalty and punishment for our sin, it fell upon Christ, our substitute, and thereby the message of the gospel is that God's wrath is turned away from the one who trusts in Christ. Do you see tonight your need, dear unsaved soul, to come to the Savior? He who has accomplished this great work for us, whereby the wrath of God can be turned away. The sinner can know that peace with God. But the matter tonight must be dealt with. And that soul must come with repentance toward God and with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can know that they're saved from the wrath which is to come. That's what Christ accomplished for us upon the center tree. William Cowper, great hymn writer, but he suffered bouts of severe depression. And William Cowper at one point felt that he was so low, he said it was feeling that the wrath of God was upon him. And he felt that the wrath of God was just hanging above him. And seeing a Bible, he says, he grabbed the Bible and he flung himself into the chair to read the Bible. And as he opened it up at Romans chapter 3, and his eyes fell upon verse 25. And the apostle writes there of the Savior, whom God hath made a propitiation through faith in his blood. And Cowper read those words, through faith in his blood. And he later testified, then and there, I realized what Christ's blood had accomplished. And he said, the great burden was lifted off my soul. I realized what Christ's death had accomplished. Dear soul, tonight I want you to see that it has turned away the wrath of God from each one that will come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was at a later point, looking back upon that very time, that Cowper penned those words. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I ask you tonight, have you ever come by faith? Have you ever plunged beneath that fountain that's filled with blood? You know what it is tonight to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I urge upon you tonight to run to the Savior, to flee from the wrath which is to come. And if you have never accepted him as your own and personal Savior, then do it tonight and do it right now. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is a wrath of God that you need to escape from tonight. And the only refuge for your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. May the Lord bless his word to each and every heart this evening.